If you'll take your Bibles and turn with me to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. That's our what we've been working through in our communion services for a few weeks now, a few months now. And it's not the normal type of passages that you would think of for communion. But it is... I was reading through it here a while back, and I thought these would be good meditations about the life of the redeemed. And so that's what I've been working on in this particular series. And it's kind of interesting because I have commentaries on all the books of the Bible. I have multiple commentaries on all the books of the Bible. I have lots of commentaries on the Psalms. Most of them give Psalm 119 just a couple of pages. They don't go verse by verse. I guess they, you know, the length, they want to comment on everything in the Psalm. So usually there's some general comments. They'll pick out certain words and certain themes. And so it's very interesting that there is very little said about it. But if one takes the time, we can distinguish features of each stanza as we go through. Today we're in verses 33 to 40, where all the verses start in Hebrew with the letter He. So that gives us the H sound. In English it would be the H sound, but it's the letter He. And if you see in your Bibles, most Bibles will have that at the top. You see the word, the H-E, that's pronounced He. And this is a very significant letter in the Hebrew verb system. It is any verb that is in a certain form will start with this letter. And so it's very easy. He's doing an acrostic psalm, so every one of these verses starts with this letter, hey. And they it creates in the verb system, when you start a verb with this letter, it's what is called a causative verb. So I'm going to read from one commentary I do have on that is in detail on Psalm 119. This is James Montgomery Boyce. He says, in English, we would translate such verbs as cause me to learn, cause me to have understanding, cause me to walk, and so on, which sound awkward. The verbs are better rendered as petitions, which is what the Hebrew sentences actually are. As a result, we have, teach me, O Lord, to follow your decrees. Give me understanding, direct me in the path of your commands, turn my heart toward your statutes, and so on throughout the stanza. The fifth stanza of Psalm 119 is a series of prayers for acceptance, progress, assistance, and perseverance in God's school of spiritual learning. So I've called this message Longing for Instruction. And I think as we read this, you'll see that this is the psalmist's heart, as we look at his words here. So I'm going to read the section. I have it on the screen. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall observe it to the end. Give me understanding, that I may observe your law and keep it with all my heart. Make me walk in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my heart to your testimonies, and not to dishonest gain. Turn away my eyes from looking at vanity and revive me in your way. Establish your word to your servant as that which produces reverence for you. Turn away my reproach, which I dread, for your ordinances are good. Behold, I long for your precepts. Revive me through your righteousness. And so, as I read this stanza, one verse from the Beatitudes comes to mind, where Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. So I'm going to work on this proposition then for this message. After redemption, if you hunger for righteousness, your spiritual life will become full. So after redemption, if you hunger for righteousness, your spiritual life will become full. C.H. Spurgeon said, a sense of dependence and a consciousness of extreme need pervade this section, which is all made up of prayer and plea. The former eight verses trembled with a sense of sin, quivering with a childlike sense of weakness and folly, which caused the man of God to cry out for the help by which alone his soul could be preserved from falling back into sin. So we're going to break this up into 4 points, this psalm. So the first one, a longing for an enduring lifestyle. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall observe it to the end. So he wants to be taught in God's ways. He wants God to show him the path that he is to walk in, the way of his statutes. What do his commandments mean? What implications do they have for his life? And he makes a commitment that he will follow this path and he will follow God's learning to the end. So a longing for enduring lifestyle. And as I think about even the prospects of my own life, I've been a Christian now for over 60 years. And there have been ups and downs in my spiritual walk. Sometimes when I was walking close to God, other times when I was not. But I look forward. How many more years do I have? I don't know. But I want them to be faithful. That's the longing that we have here in this heart, in this verse. This is what we all ought to desire of God. That God would teach us and lead us in such a way that we stay faithful to the end, a longing for an enduring lifestyle. The second thing I want you to see is a longing for a holy, devoted life. So verses 34 to 37, there's actually 4 different things that he requests here. Give me understanding that I may observe your law and keep it with all my heart. So he's asking for a wholehearted mind. Give me understanding. Help me to follow you with intelligence. Help me to follow you with an understanding of the implications of God's word. There are so many things that the Bible teaches us, and sometimes it has to trickle down into our lives as an application of the express things that God says. There's a lot of things in our lives, because we live in such a different culture from the first century, let alone the times of the Old Testament. Our culture is vastly different. And yet, we can read things in our Bible dealing with that ancient culture that still teach us spiritual principles that affect the way we live. That's why we need understanding. We need to pray that God would help us to not only just understand what the Word says, but how it applies to my life today. And then I can serve Him with my whole heart. I can be completely devoted to Him. The second thing, verse 35, make me walk in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. So this is a request for my feet, for a consistent walk. So the places that I go, Lord, help me, make me, he says, cause me to walk in the path of your commandments. So as we gain understanding, then we make choices about where we go, about what we do and who we associate with. A desire for a consistent walk. Then verse 36, incline my heart to your testimonies and not to dishonest gain. So it's not just an intellectual understanding that he wants. It's not just a rule for life, for his walk, for his feet, but it is a direction of the heart, a desire for a holy love, a desire for loving those things that God loves, that we value more than anything, His testimonies. There's so many things that call forth our lives in this world. He says, incline me to your testimonies and not to dishonest gain. Dishonest gain, materialism, is a thing that we are very susceptible to. It is a driving force in our culture. People labor for the things that moth and rust doth corrupt, as the King James says. All right, it is how much value we put into these things. And I often think to the things that I've done in the past. You know, we had to have something. I think you know we I remember one of the things that always comes to my mind is purchasing. We purchased a living room furniture on credit one time, and we needed to replace what we had, and so it was good to have new living room furniture. But then we were paying it off and paying it off, and I finally got the whole thing paid off, and I walked away from there thinking, man, I just finished buying used furniture. You know, I used it. You know, I depreciated it, and now it's not worth what I paid for it by the time I paid it off. And that was a very dissatisfying feeling. The things of this world, everything breaks. Everything, you know, like even, you see these people running around in Teslas. Now, I'm not a real fan of Teslas. But people, you know, how many thousands of dollars do they spend on those? Well, even your regular cars today, brand new cars. I can't even imagine. I had my truck in to get fixed. Looking at new pickups, $50,000 for a pickup truck. That was almost as much as we paid for our first house. Okay? It's like, how in the world? And is that kind of value there? I don't know. But people labor for that. But you buy a brand new car, and inevitably it will wear out. Things will go wrong. It will not last. So what should we desire? What should we incline our hearts to? Well, to the Word. The Word that is always enduring. And then verse 37. Turn away my eyes from looking at vanity and revive me in your ways. So don't looking at empty things. I could have said some of those illustrations for this verse. A desire for a pure focus, I called this. So he talks about the mind, he talks about the feet, he talks about the heart, he talks about the eyes. Now, there's a quote here from Boyce again. He says, verse 37 occurs in Pilgrim's Progress at a familiar point in the narrative when Christian and faithful come to Vanity Fair on their way to the Celestial City. Here all the merchandise of the world is for sale, but those who are on their way to the Celestial City do not fit in with these people, and when they are asked to stop and buy, they put their hands to their ears and run away, crying, "Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and look toward heaven to show where the business of their lives is." That sentence, "turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity," is Psalm 119:37 in the version available to Bunyan. It is the Christian's only wise response to the allurements of this world. And so in connection with this, the whole section, I think of that verse in Deuteronomy 6:5, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might." That's what the psalmist is praying for. A longing for an enduring lifestyle, a longing for a holy, devoted life. Mind, feet, heart, and eyes in this section. And then the next one, just one verse, a longing for a solid base of confidence. "Establish your word to your servant as that which produces reverence for you." So the word is that which produces reverence. The lifestyle he was after comes through the Word. So he wants a firm sense of God's unfailing and eternal Word to work in his life. A longing for a solid base of confidence. And then one last point at the very last two verses, a longing for ongoing faithfulness. "Turn away my reproach, which I dread, for your ordinances are good. Behold, I long for your precepts. Revive me through your righteousness." So what is the reproach he dreads? Well, it could be shame for his own sin. So in other words, turn away from me my reproach. Don't let me get into a situation where my actions bring reproach on my testimony. That's one way. But more likely, I think it is the reproach of sinners who mock the Word and mock those who follow the Word. Turn away from me that reproach, which discourages my walk with you. Rather, Lord, I long for your precepts. Your ordinances are good. Revive me through your righteousness. So the idea is that God and his Holy Spirit would work in your heart so that you would be faithful in all these things. That you wouldn't be tripped up by your own sin, or you wouldn't be tripped up by the ridicule and criticism of others. So a longing for instruction. Overall, this stanza focuses on the desire for a spiritual life devoted to God. In the New Testament era, we would call this a spirit-filled life. This life begins with redemption, but it is fulfilled by applying redemption to life through the Word of God. And so the proposition, after redemption, if you hunger for righteousness, your spiritual life will become full. And these prayers that he utters here are prayers that focus the heart in that direction. I commend it to you, to your meditation and thinking, and that that your own walk with God would have this kind of devotion. Let's close with a word of prayer, and then we'll have our communion service. Our Father, we thank you for the Word of God. Here, this is a testimony that reflects the kind of heart that we want to have. Lord, I pray that we might be devoted to you in our own lives, that we would sincerely desire the Word to shape us, to guide our actions, our thinking, the things that we look at, the things that we value, so that we could have the kind of testimony that endures to the end. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.